Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I'm on the grid, and so is the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Let's do this thing. We've got a couple of hockey games going on. We've got baseball coming off the board. We've got basketball coming up. We've got golf around the corner. We've got the Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart will be with you for the next 120 minutes. Islanders have gotten back in it. They were down 2-0. It's now 2-1 in that hockey game. We keep our eye on everything that's going on. Cam, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, the Islanders just scored again, Gabe, 2-2. So 2-2, 18 minutes left in the third. Great start for them. Crazy game, too. Big brawl at the start of the game. Fisticuffs. These teams hate each other. Hey, man, it is what it is. It feels like playoff hockey. I don't care about these people talking about Hubs. These guys are out there murdering each other. The five overtime game that we joked about last night, the other game got canceled this morning. And Carolina and Boston goes to overtime, too. So it's been pretty crazy. Great hockey so far, buddy.
The New York Islanders just get one early in the third period of play, 2-2. They were down 2-0, so they've actually come back, showing the resiliency that the Islanders often do. Still scoreless, 8:41 left in the first period of play between the Coyotes and the Avalanche. We have the Montreal Canadiens and the Philadelphia Flyers coming up this evening at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific. And, of course, the Canadiens already knocked off the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's going to be tough. Now, the Flyers are a deeper team than the Pittsburgh Penguins are. The Penguins are kind of a two-man operation. Nobody ever, you know, and they're, you know, Crosby and Malkin aren't getting any younger. What makes the Flyers so difficult is they have so many people that that chip in and contribute. And they also have a good young goaltender, something the Flyers haven't had over the past years. Yet, let's see them do it in the playoffs now. The Montreal Canadiens have a little confidence following that series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We have the Vancouver Canucks and the St. Louis Blues. Very interesting series here between the defending Stanley Cup champions and a team that plays a very similar style that they do, except they're just younger and unproven at it. So we'll break down the games. We've got golf. We've got baseball. We've got basketball coming up at in less than 30 minutes' time. The Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. Of course, 76ers are pretty beat up. You know, it looks like Joel Embiid is going to play this evening. I don't know why they would play him. So one thing about the NBA, I can't explain the logic of some of the coaches in which they won't play a guy one night, they'll play him another night, they'll start someone, they'll pull them. Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason to some of the craziness in the NBA. It's getting tricky to handicap. I just want to get to the playoffs at this point in time. But we've seen, Cam, the Raptors bench, they like kicking the crap out of people. Chris Boucher likes dunking on people. Matt Thomas gets more playing time. Another thing is they're all trying to earn Nick Nurse's respect so they get real playing time once the games start counting for real. Anytime I get an opportunity to play the Raptors bench against another team's bench in one of these sort of settings, I pull the trigger, and we'll pull the trigger with the Raptors in this spot against the 76ers.
You said it, Morenci. What did they do to Milwaukee? They absolutely decimated these guys. That's the thing. Every single player on the Raptors can contribute. I've never seen a deeper team. Like, you look at other teams, once their stars are top-heavy, some of their bench guys are slugs. The Raptors guys are good, man. Look at Boucher. You said it. Thomas has been lighting up. The former Iowa State Cyclone. Love these guys.
Well, they've been great. They're hungry guys. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates. I am Gabriel Moretz. We're kicking it with a raging redhead, Cam Stuhl. We have our eye on this NHL hockey right now. And pretty crazy stuff, man. The New York Islanders were down 2-0, and it seems like they were a little bit overwhelmed by the Washington Capitals. Holtby had made a couple of big saves, but Eberle got him on the board, and then they respond early in the third. And it's just, you know, it's the presence of their coach that they have that's been there and done that. And they just are a bunch of resilient dudes on this New York Islanders team. So Capitals in a dogfight right now. And we've got Arizona and Colorado off and running. Still scoreless in that hockey game. It was 5.5. You had to lay -180 if you like the Avalanche. Cam, who are you on in these games? I'm assuming you're on the Islanders, but I can't assume who you have in the Avalanche Coyotes. I don't know.
You know me too well. Yeah, I'm on the Islanders. Split this morning.
I assume.
Yeah, I am on the Avalanche. Yeah, see, you know me, but I'm kind of hesitant.
I'm on the Islanders and the.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I'm sorry. I've only got the under in this game. I've only got the under. I had the Canes and the under earlier. My bad.
I had the under
in this Islander game, and I don't know.
I had the Canes and the over. Yeah, the Canes and the over. I won the over. I had more money on the Canes. I gotta be honest with you. Just, you know, Boston kind of played us for fools. They sleptwalked through.
I hate that team, bro.
Buddy.
I'm not even a Carolina fan. I felt sick after that game. I'm like, I do too. I hate these guys. I'm just sick of watching you celebrate.
Without the New England Patriots.
But I'd punch him in the face too.
You put it on my tombstone, Gabe. More Boston Bruins and New England Patriots took more money from this redheaded turkey than any two teams in the history of sports, right? They always beat down the Leafs. We bet against these guys in the Super Bowl. But anyway, the Bruins just find ways. They were sleepwalking through the seeding. They didn't care. Carolina came out early, though. The first 5 minutes, they were flying. And I'm like, damn, if we could have got a couple early, I think things would have been good. And Boston's second goal was an absolute joke. It was a high stick and a hand pass, and the goalie had control. But anyway, that's life. We lose the bet, but hopefully we get it with the Islanders and Avalanche, buddy.
Well, I'll tell you, though, the referee in this Islander and Capital game, he's calling too many penalties.
He's
putting everybody on the power play all the time, and now the Capitals are on the power
especially
play.
Especially Washington.
And that's another thing with the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes. Chris Lee's a terrible referee, bro. The guy might be the worst referee in the entire National Hockey League.
He is horrible.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we talk about the unpredictability of the hockey playoffs right now. We just talked about how they were calling too many penalties in this game. And the power play.
Mostly on the Islanders, too.
Well, special teams just created another goal, except, special teams. Shorthanded. The New York Islanders scored shorthanded. And I got to tell you, man, that was one of the most Bush League bad playoff goals that I've ever seen given up. I don't like it. For people who didn't see the play, the Islanders are killing a penalty. They basically were on like a shift change. Buddy just flicked. I'm telling you, we talked about it last week, me and Cam. You flick the puck up high, good things will happen.
Exactly.
Just flick the puck like a pop fly into the air toward the net. He wasn't trying to score. He's trying to kill time. He flicks the puck like really high. For some reason, Holtby like catches it instead of just letting it watch. Holtby like bites the bait, catches it, sort of then awkwardly passes it to someone. He gets coughed up in the slot. Boom.
Boom.
Within like 2 seconds. Like harmless pop fly. Boom, bing, bam, goal. Wow. Holtby had a little laugh. And I'm telling you, you know what happens there? I play goalie, Cam, and I'm going to tell you right now, you're like, it's
bouncing
easier
pucks
to stop a normal slap shot, right? Once
exactly
something's all slow and stuff, it's like, oh, God. And then it bounces, and you don't know what it's going to do. And it doesn't matter. I was amazed seeing Holtby, even a grown man, Stanley Cup champion goalie, sort of had that, holy crap, I'm kind of screwed little instant, Cam. You know what I mean? You get caught
oh,
in
I know what you mean.
You see it sometimes. Like, you're like, oh, God. And now you passed it. It was just an awkward play, but I'm just surprised to see that from Holtby. That's all on Holtby, bro. That never should have happened.
Yeah, pucks are a lot like footballs. They bounce. You can't predict the way
like
it's going to bounce
stay
once
away
it gets
from
up.
It. You're
that's
right
the thing. It's the oldest trick in the book, Gabe. I used to do it all the time ever since you get past right before center. Do the old flick into the air, hope it goes on net, and the object is to let it bounce about, you know, a couple yards away from the goalie. It could go weird. It could shoot left. It could shoot right. It could go up, down. You don't know what you're going to do. A bouncing puck. It's galvanized rubber. A lot of crazy stuff happens. And you said it. And I will tell you this. The goal that they scored, when Eberle scored, Holtby fanned on that one, too. He was so off with his glove. It's like he went to make a
you're
play,
right,
and he missed the puck. Those are two. So that goal kind of rattled his cage because he was on fire early. You know goaltending. He let in a cheap one, and he kind of got in his own head there. So right now, if I'm the Islanders, I just keep on peppering this guy from all angles.
He's made a few nice saves as well. But
he has.
Safe point in time, he's not. He's good. He's not as good as he was. I think he peaked.
I agree.
He's a good goalie, not a great goalie, Holtby. He's inconsistent. You know what I mean? Like, he can be really good, but he's okay. He's not great. There's hotter goalies right now. I mean, the Corpusello guy. Corpusello, I mean, this guy's just unbelievable right now. I mean,
yep.
The way that guy is playing. Carey Price, you know, it's interesting, actually. Carey Price was only really good. And like the Canadians, it's kind of a misconception that, like, Carey Price won that series for them. Carey Price was, like, awesome in the first two games, and they split the first two games. The other two games, the Habs won. Like, they just won. Like, it wasn't all because of Carey Price. They just actually won the game. And it'll be interesting to see this matchup. I'm curious to see how Hart does tonight, like, with real pressure in a real playoff setting right now. One thing I've noticed about the second round of these playoffs, Cam, is it's a little slower than the first round. You notice that? And I don't mean bad, but it's like it's slower hockey. The pace is slower because good teams aren't frantic. That's why. Like the Bruins are very calm. Like, it's just sort of like, pass it there, don't panic. Like, these other teams, it's entertaining in that first round, but it was all crap teams. So, like I said, it's like watching two bad UFC fight, like young fighters fight. It might be a good fight, but it's actually not good fighting, if you know what I mean. It's like,
I do know what you mean.
But it's not good. You know what I mean? It's like, it's helter-skelter and it's crazy. It's because they're bad. It's because they're chaotic. So it's fun to watch chaos. But I'm just noticing it's much more structured now, Cam. I'm noticing. I just noticed the subtle differences of the real teams that are the seeded teams than the other teams, Cam. I just have. I've noticed just their poise. There's just a sort of a more calmness about the style that they play.
It's funny you mentioned that because even in the fifth overtime, Columbus and Tampa Bay, after five overtimes, were faster than the Bruins in Carolina today. Like, they were like water bugs out there, some of those rushes and stuff like that. You're right. The Bruins really know. They're a smart team. They know when to conserve energy, and they know when to go,
right?
They
pace themselves. They pace themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You're right.
They're very smart. Tampa, though,
I've never seen such a slow celebration off the bench. It was great.
I know.
One guy,
the best is when he jumps.
Like, labored to get over. He's like
my groin. I know. It was the best. Point can even talk at the end of the game. He goes to pull the old Mike Foligno jump, and he literally got about an inch. He had no vertical. He was so tired. I scored the winning goal. What a hockey game. We laughed about it on the show. They could play all night, and they actually did. fourth longest game in NHL history. But yeah, no, I'm noticing that too.
That's gonna hurt Columbus moving forward.
It's
gonna hurt them moving forward. Like, they already played five games. Now they're up to like seven eight games. Like, it's too much.
Two overtime games versus the Leafs, and then a five overtime game. They played seven overtimes.
You saw it. You and I talked about it yesterday. Once you get that far, you can't lose that game, right? It's one of those deals like in hockey where it's like, man, you can't lose now. We can't lose. And you saw Columbus's look. It looked like they lost the series. Like, they actually stood there and watched Tampa celebrate and, like, Buddy collapsed. One guy collapsed on the ice. The defenseman just put his head down like he couldn't look up. The other guys just stared like in shock at what just happened. Oh, you could tell, like, Tortorella was rattled even. Like, Tortorella just dropped, like, a massive F-bomb. Ah!
It was really bad luck, too. Because the blue liner blocked the puck, right? Initially, but he got hurt. That's the thing. He was trying to shake it off and couldn't get back in the lane. That's the thing. He's like, he tried, but he was like, ah! Like, you could tell. And then at the end, he collapsed. Like, damn, man. The guy, it's
yeah, but that was another goal, too, bro. That was another goal. Where it goes to show, like, the luck of the bounce. Dude, the puck, that's why he couldn't stop it. Dude, the puck never hit the ice. The puck hit the stick kind of like a palm. Like
it was awesome.
High five.
Yeah.
It was like a boomerang. Like, it wasn't like a normal hockey shot. It was like a slingshot. Like, just got the puck and he slung it. And it was basically like a lacrosse shot, Cam. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a goalie needs a trajectory off the ice. There's an angle, right? So it's like, all right, it's coming to my glove. It's coming to my shoulder. Oh, this is high. You know what I mean? There was none, dude. It was like a slingshot, like lacrosse, like zinger. What a shot.
Corpusello had no chance. Bro, he had no chance.
You could do that. None. You could bounce that puck 100 times. Like, that's the best goal Brandon Point's ever scored in his life, bro. I guarantee you he's telling his buddies. That he goes, that's like a dream what happened. The way that the puck, like, landed on the stick in one motion like that.
I'll tell you something, too. That Yanni Gourde on Tampa Bay is an absolute killer. He hits people. He's a one-man wrecking crew. Tampa Bay has the type of guys you want to go to war. Like, the additions they made, too. And picking up Coleman from New Jersey is a very underrated move that no one's talking about. I think it's he's a hell of a player. Gabe, great news again. Islanders just scored. 4-2, baby. Let's do this. Four unanswered.
It's not great for me. Like under.
Yeah. So you need a 3-2. I'm not touching totals. I'm sized.
Well, that's two overs today.
Exactly. Everyone's like, oh, the unders, and then it goes over. You know the way it works. Opposite world. All those other games were five.
Will probably stay under now.
Yeah, Colorado will probably stay under. I think too. It's still scoreless there.
After a period, still scoreless.
Mm. Yep.
You just don't know. It's frustrating.
You don't know. That's the thing.
Islander capital under was looking good, bro.
It was.
It was looking good. Like, you know what I mean? It was
even with the penalties.
The it was like
2-0.
The two-two was the problem. Like that. The 2-2 is a problem. And like you say, you know what? Holpe's the problem, man. I don't know. Like, I would change goalies in the next game, bro. Like, they don't need to play Holpe.
Do people not remember?
He just cost them this game. Like, they're down 4-2. Like, three of the four goals are bad, bro.
You know who their backup is? Samsonov luggage there. That's the thing. They got rid of Grubauer. Remember, Grubauer took over for Holpe, then Holpe came back.
Yep.
He's Colorado's goalie now. So enjoy. You want to put that guy in? That's fine. But you're right. The Capitals do have a goaltending issue. I think Holpe's too inconsistent.
They're going to have to score more goals. Like, they got a problem. If Holpe isn't on top of his game, they got a problem.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, game time decision continues. I am Renz. We're throwing it down with a raging Reddit. Cam Stewart. We got baseball going off the board in about 10 to 12 minutes or so. NBA basketball as well. So let's start off with a basketball game right now. We briefly mentioned it. FanDuel has the Raptors minus 5.5 right now. The total is 222 points. Meaningless game. It is. Just to tell you, let's be real. It's a meaningless game. Well, the Raptors really take every game seriously, though. That's why they're good. That's why they've won 50 or more games in five consecutive years. And, you know, listen, the Philadelphia 76ers are a beat-up team. Their chemistry isn't good. They're sort of falling apart right now. I think the Raptors beat them by 7. They beat them by 8. Anunoby is out tonight. Van Fleet's back. Kyle Lowry's available, which I don't know what that means, if they're going to play him or not. The Raptors have nothing to gain here, guys. They're locked into the 2 seed. And Boston and Philadelphia are on a collision course. Like, Philadelphia technically could still get out of the spot that they're in, but they need to win both games. They need the Heat to lose both games. It's not happening. It seems like Philadelphia is just destined for the 6-hole, and they're destined to play the Boston Celtics. And I think the Boston Celtics will beat them, Cam. You know, I mean, maybe with Ben Simmons and a healthy Embiid, the Sixers are just flaky. They need to be broken.
They are. They're soft.
Whatever. I don't have to lay the points. I'm going to be honest. Full disclosure. We played earlier in the day today. I played an in-game. I played under 3.5 in-game, Cam, in the Paris Saint-Germain Atalanta game.
What a comeback.
I played it with the Raptors on the money line. So I just need the Raptors on the money line right now for a minus 134 parlay to come in. But I would recommend laying the 5.5 with the Raptors. The Raptors will win by 7 or 8 or 9 or something tonight. I think the Raptors will win by more than 5.5, Ken.
Should be an interesting angle too, Gabe. Nick Nurse not coaching the Raptors tonight. Adrian Griffin subs in. And, you know, when players like an assistant, they usually play for them too. I have a lean to the Raptors. It's not going to be a big play. As for the total, it just went down on FanDuel from 222.
Yeah, it's a meaningless game. So, yeah, you're right. Let's be real about big play. It's a meaningless NBA game, guys.
Exactly. 221.5 down from 222. I have no inclination to take the over or anything in this game, maybe because these guys just play loose and it's fun, but I have a lean to the Raptors, but it won't be a big play. They embarrassed the Bucks in Philadelphia. Yeah, you can't count on these guys either. So, yeah, Toronto's the play
now,
for me.
Now, as far as Nick Nurse, in case anybody's wondering, why is Nick Nurse not coaching? Nick Nurse will be in the bubble tonight. He's in the bubble, but, I mean, he's going to be in the gym. He's going to be at the court in the arena. Except he won't be courtside coaching, and basically he just wants his assistant to have the opportunity to run the team himself. Class
love
act,
it,
Nick Nurse. Huh?
It is.
It's just a class act. Like,
you know what it is?
You've earned this. Yeah. Why don't you coach the team tonight? Because I'm not even going to be on the sideline. I'm just not. No. Like, it's not like Nurse is going to be there. All right, now I take over with 2 minutes left. Right? No. Yeah. He's not coaching at all. He's going to be there, but he's not coaching the team.
Just tells you what type of person, exactly what you said, that Nick Nurse is. How many guys are egomaniacs and would never give an assistant a chance? Total opposite. Why do you think the Raptors do all these good things and win? It's the attitude. None of this me crap. They look at it as a team. They want to help people on their team, and that's a big thing. Players will play for the coach. So even though it's not it is technically a meaningless game for them, they might play for Griffin, Gabe. So I think that's an angle that you have to look at too. So. Yeah, exactly. So I like the Raptors.
We know it's the same thing that basically all the time that the backup quarterback always has a relationship with the fourth and fifth and sixth string wide receivers.
Yep, exactly. Practice with them.
That's why Dak Prescott and Cole Beasley had such a great relationship. Dak Prescott was taking reps with the third team. Cole Beasley's taking reps with the second and third team. That's Dak's guy in practice all the time. You always see it, Cam. Like, when a backup quarterback comes in a football game, He always, oh, and big play to the backup tight end. Yeah. Oh, it's the second catch.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, yep. Because he throws to this guy in practice all the time. He knows. All right, better play. Let's go. Right? Like, so it's sort of like that. You're right. Like, now these players are going to say, man, it's the same thing with the Spurs. Like Kawhi Leonard talked about years ago when he was on the Spurs. He said Popovich is a great coach, but he goes, Becky Hammon made me better. Like, oh, you know what I mean? She's the assistant coach. He's like, Becky Hammon made me a better basketball player. Like, the work that she put in with me during practice and stuff. And like you said, like, the Raptor players, they're going to play hard for this dude. I like what people are saying. They're like, they should have let Kyle Lowry coach the team tonight.
Player coach. Yeah, Reg Dunlop.
Coach the team. Probably would have done a decent job. Job, too. All right, so anyways, we're going to lay the 5.5 points. But like Cam stated, it's a meaningless game, guys. So there's no substance to this or anything. But I already have it on a money line parlay, but I will give it to you at -5.5. I will recommend it. I'll let the guy that tracks our picks on Twitter, Cam, at the network here. I'll put my name up, all right? You can track it. I'm on a Raptor.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. I saw that on Twitter. You were getting some love for the cheap Orioles pick.
How about the Baltimore Oriole pick?
Yeah. See, I endorse those dogs, baby. Yes. +200. It was a great night. Good night on the baseball diamond, buddy. That's good for you. I tell you, like, that's the thing. Like, you have to have faith in these bad teams. And Baltimore, that's the thing, too.
I said, why not? We just talked about it. So I said, why not?
Yeah. Exactly. And the thing is, there was a roller coaster. The thing I liked about Baltimore, too, is usually when those bad teams win, they just kind of get a lead and hold on. But Baltimore was scrappy. They were down, came back, took a lead. There was a lot of lead changes in that game. They really battled and got the job done versus Philadelphia. So congratulations. Winning those, that's why you have to stick to the system in baseball and try to turn everything into pluses if you can. A lot of parlay dance partners, because plus money comes in a lot, buddy.
Very interesting right now. So we have the Marlins and the Blue Jays coming up in about 5 or 6 minutes time right now. So we just talked about the and it's not that we're focusing in on the Toronto teams, but the way that we work, we go through the rotation. And right now the Raptors and the Sixers are starting at 6:30, and Toronto's other team, the Toronto Blue Jays, happen to be starting in 5 minutes. They're the next game up in the rotation. So we have the Miami Marlins and the Blue Jays. What I find interesting right now and disappointing is the fact that they have the Yamamoto prop up for strikeouts, but no Nate Pearson. And we're 2-0 with our Nate Pearson to the overs. And remember, in Nate Pearson's debut, guys, we gave you the over strikeouts. We told you this kid's a phenom. It was against the Washington Nationals. We hit the under in that game, too. Me and Cam, I remember. We hit the strikeout prop, the Blue Jays, and the under.
Every game. So, yep.
Yeah, and he went over to 3.5. Then they made it 4.5, Nate Pearson, in his second start. Now he's not up, but I tell you what, Yamamoto wasn't up a couple of minutes ago either, so maybe they're going to post a late total here. Total 8.5 in this baseball game tonight. So we got Yamamoto against Nate Pearson tonight. Blue Jays -176 right now. Current number at FanDuel, Cam. Is the price a little high here for the Blue Jays?
It is a little high, but I think I'm going to attach it to maybe the Philadelphia Flyers, but I will take the Blue Jays -1.5 +112. I usually like to do that with the visiting team because of the at bats, but I believe in Pearson. The Jays had a nice win against Miami this game. I expect them to take care of business in this series. Yamamoto's been a gas can. I think Toronto can really get to this guy. I'm seeing, a Blue Jay, like a 7-2, 7-3 type of win.
Blue Jay team tonight. 4.5.
Over. That's something I will play. I think they'll get five.
We don't do a lot of team totals here, but I'm going to look at this. Team total Blue Jays. Yes. If it's 4-4.5, over.
Over. I think they'll get 7 runs tonight. So I really like that over. And I like the -176, and I like the -1.5 +112, and I agree with you. Team total over 4.5. We're all in, Gabe. Raptors, Blue Jays. It sounds like my buddy Vizine Vince's parlay there. Just put them together, but Pearson should be able to get it done against Yamamoto.
Yeah, put you in a poorhouse. Betting on two Toronto teams to win in the same night doesn't happen often, all right?
No, not often. Now, TFC more when you threw them in.
Just because of the Raptors. It happens more than it used to.
Oh, it happens a lot more than it used to. Exactly.
like 10 years ago, guys, it was like it was free money. I used to I'd bet against it. I'd just be like, dude, like, bet against all Toronto teams if they're playing the same night. You'll go like 2-1 or 3-1 every time. TFC were terrible. The Raptors were terrible. That's the thing. There's all these new school Raptor fans. I know who you are, too. You're all fakes. You're all frauds. I don't remember you there, man, when I was watching Jose Calderon and TJ Ford get their ass kicked.
Exactly.
I remember going to games and I was like, man, you know how depressing this is? Rudy Gay is our best player.
Like, exactly. You know, like, let's Rudy give Jan Tabak. Like, yeah, like, you should have seen some of the. Like, you know? I know. They had some real, real grinders. Yeah, no, no. Hey,
I remember
it's
like
growing
second
pains.
Guessing once going to the games. Can I remember once sitting there? I spent like $90 or something. I'm watching like a bad Raptors and Mavericks game. And I'm like, man, you must really love the NBA or something. Cause you're like, God, this is bad. I'm like, it was just so bad. I remember they even years ago too, going to the playoff games and watching them lose to like Garnett and the Nets and stuff like that. I was like, man, this team just sucks. Like they can't, they choke all the time. Like it was just like you were there. I mean, I remember once I nearly had a heart attack when we lost to Cleveland. When I left the arena, I was like,
yeah, that's
I'm like,
that
F
night
this team,
sucked.
F this building, F everybody, F the NBA. Oh, yeah. Dude, I got into an argument with Mark Jackson outside the arena once about this stuff. All right. The announcer. But yeah, we stayed loyal and they finally got it done. I think the Blue Jays have a strong, they have a big future ahead of them, too, with all these young prospects. So, yeah, let's go over the team total. Another official pick here on the show, Cam. Blue Jays over 4.5 runs scored.
I endorse it. I really like that play. I think it's a little bit low. I would have probably put it at 5.5, but, you know, we'll take the 4.5. We're going to bet it, buddy. I love it. I think they can get to this guy. Yep.
What about the other one coming up right now? The Royals, Royal game.
Be careful. The Royals might be a dog tonight.
And Reds.
This game smells. Know what it smells? It smells fishy at that Keller Cincinnati's only -116. Yeah, I kind of like. Right. I hate
what's
to say it.
What's up with the 116 number?
The Royals are going to win this game. I got some weird feeling. I'm not going to bet it, but I would not be betting Cincinnati.
Though? Are they really going to win again?
Yes, they can.
Game
they swept Minnesota.
Continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, game time decisions continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. So we were just talking about the Blue Jays and Raptors playing, and about how you don't make money. You can actually make money betting against Toronto sports teams, and I used to do it religiously all the time, and it's amazing. Our boy Pete, this is nuts as well. So the Blue Jays, Leafs, and Raptors all won on the same day on April 12th.
I'll never forget that day.
Two.
Yep.
Like, we have to go back. Like, so it was literally like 17 years. And I remember there was one day, Cam, where it was the Toronto Parlay 6-0 special.
Yeah.
It was like the first time in the history of the city. It's hard. Like, think about that. Like, this was in 2019. Okay. So this is from the stat. In 2019, they said the Blue Jays, Leafs, and Raptors all look to win on the same day for the first time since April 12, 2002. It literally was like 20 years in between this happening. And I remember, and listen, the reason is too, because they got to be in the playoffs for everybody to playing at once, right? So like as far as like everybody in the playoffs and everything. But it actually happened. The Raptors won and covered. The Blue Jays won. The Maple Leafs won. TFC won. The rugby team, the Toronto Wolfpack, won.
Back.
And the Toronto Marlies AHL team, like, won the Calder Cup that night or something. They won the championship. I'll never forget, because I bet on 5 of them. And we couldn't, because we were like, oh, a 6-0 parlay. There was no line on that rugby match.
Exactly.
There was no line on the rugby.
Yeah, no, they're going to have lines soon on that stuff, but I will say this.
Think about how many times that happens in L.A. Like, every day they just did. Dodgers and Lakers win. Oh, what a big deal. Like, Toronto had to go 17 years.
Yeah, you don't want to be a bookie in L.A. because, yeah, those things are cashing a lot of those daily doubles. But I remember in Vegas, I've done a couple times with the Toronto three-step.
You wouldn't
Vince
want to be a bookie in L.A., Cam, because that would be illegal. Just saying.
Yeah. I would want to be a bookie in L.A. Yes, yes. Anyway, I'm just telling you that I've done it before in Vegas with the Toronto teams, and it's won a few times. Always when I'm in Vegas, though. Never when I'm at home. I got to be away for it to win. It wins.
All right, so we gave it the 4.5 Blue Jay run total. We're gonna play the Raptors. We already got the Raptors with that under in the Paris Saint-Germain game. So I just need the Raptors money line, but I do think they cover the 5.5. We'll get into the hockey. The hockey games are a little bit later this evening. So let's take a look. We got golf as well. So yeah, let's take a look at the golf right now. We got the Wyndham. Quick update in the National Hockey League though before we get into the Wyndham. Golf still scoreless right now.
Yep.
Still scoreless between Arizona and Colorado Avalanche. 15:41 left in the second period of play. And Holpe just fell apart here this afternoon in Toronto. The New York Islanders were down. They were down 2-0. They come back. And, of course, I got under 5.5. Finishes 4-2. So barely gets there. Thanks, Holpe. Like, I'm telling you, man, I talked about him earlier. I don't trust this guy. 4-2, Islanders. Islanders on a little bit of a roll right now. So that's two hockey games in the books today, guys, and that's two overs in the books today. So the over is 2-0 so far today in the National Hockey League. All right, let's get into the golf. Kind of a letdown following a major like last week, but we have the Wyndham Championship. Webb Simpson's the favorite here at 10-1, even ahead of Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka's 12-1 right now.
I want no piece of Brooks Koepka. Yeah, he could win the tournament. He's playing in this tournament because he's not even qualifying for FedEx stuff. That's how bad the year's been for him. Completely fell apart at the PGA Championship.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. The guy's not even in the top 75. Like he's got to get there to qualify for these things. But anyway, let's talk. Webb Simpson, if you want a lock, like there's no such thing. You know, every lock is a key. We talk about that. But this is basically a home course game for him, like a top 10 or 20 bet with Webb Simpson. He's the favorite. I'll take him over Koepka in matchup bets. Koepka, I still don't trust, Gabe. But I started my picks from 34-1 and deeper because I think there's going to be a lot of dogs in this tournament. This is the thing about the Wyndham. Iron play is so important here. You need to be split fairways, small greens. It's a par 70, just over 7,100 yards. So a lot of short ball hitters are factors in this tournament. Guys who just plod along and do their business, like guys like Harris English will do well here. I don't want to call it boring golf, but the Bryson DeChambeaus of the world, you know, this is a course that you don't need to overpower. You can get in there. Yeah. That's all you need to do. So basically,
it seems like Paul Casey's a good player for that and falls into that
category.
He is.
Paul Casey is a good player for that.
I like a little bit more than 20-1, though, for Casey.
So would I. And also, you have to be very careful. I've known this for betting golf for a long time. When you come off the rigors of a major and have a regular tournament, it's very different and you're very tired. They played in deeper rough there. It was a different style of course in comparison to this course. So some of these guys, even though they're pros, they tend to, when they get back into the regular tour other than the majors, sometimes they burn out and don't play as well. I'm actually going to start, Gabe, the one pick that I like, two guys at 34-1 that I really like, Brendan Todd. He's already won twice this year. And the thing is, he's got the perfect game for this course. All he does is split fairways. He's the best driver of the golf ball straight on tour. And I'm going back because now we're getting value for a guy that's not in tip-top form. Sungjae Im used to be like 20-1 and stuff. Now he's 34 because he hasn't really been like on fire and lighting it up. But I think with the Bermuda, the grass, and the way this course is formulated, it's perfect for his game too. He's a precision player, great iron striker. So Todd and Im are the first picks that I like at 34-1.
You know, a player I'm interested in, actually, I'm looking right now, I'm trying to find him here, top 20, is Jordan Spieth.
Spieth, wow, that's interesting.
Jordan Spieth, top 20. Well, he's played here twice before only, and once he missed the cut, and another time he finished in second place, Cam.
It's pretty good. You know what his odds are to win? It's shocking.
47-1.
That's nuts. Here's the thing.
So he's plus 200 top. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting 47-1 in a shortened field here. And not fully shortened, but, and also, Cam, what's interesting about this too, it's kind of, you know, it's a letdown, but there's, the rankings matter a lot now, dude, for qualifying for other majors and tournaments and stuff like that. So it matters like to be in the top 10 now. So guys are actually trying. These aren't meaningless tournaments and stuff because there's no, they don't have a lot of chances to qualify for stuff. Right. So they need to play well and rack up the points. I'm just saying at 47-1, those numbers seem crazy to me with Spieth. I can get top 20 at plus 200.
Yeah, the thing about Spieth, too, is just remember this. He's starting to trend upwards. So if you like Jordan Spieth, I'm going to give people a tip in the like for the Masters. You could probably get him at 30-1, and I guarantee if he wins a tournament before, he'll be under 18-1. He always plays Augusta well, even when he has his B game. That's his track. So let's look at what Jordan Spieth's doing. He's starting to play a little bit better. I know he had one really, really bad round in the major when he played with his buddy Justin Thomas. He apologized for being so bad. But the thing is, Spieth is still too good to not be. Gabe, he's getting it back. It's slowly but surely. Like, you will see in the next three to four weeks. I'm not sure if it's this week, but he will trend in the right direction. So if you like him in other events, you know, you could bet him now because once he starts playing better, his odds are going to go way down. Trust me.
How about this with since 2010, Webb Simpson?
Yes, amazing record.
Eight top 12 finishes on this golf course.
Correct. I told you. I'll take him over Kepka in a matchup.
I'm going to go Webb Simpson, top 10.
Yeah, why not?
What's that, plus 100?
Yeah.
Hey, plus 110. I don't mind that. I'm getting plus 110.
What is Webb Simpson I'm going to look to for even top 20? I will lay juice with it. Webb Simpson top 20 is minus 145. That's amazing. See, that's the safety game.
How does he not? Yeah, how does he not finish in the top 20?
Here's the thing. No. Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it because I'm going to bet it at that price. Let's say this. Webb Simpson, when he's playing this tournament, you have to understand something. A lot of the time, there's going to be other guys that have career weeks. That's why I don't mind the top 20 when the juice is still low. Because you know how many times, Gabe, I've had T11 and I'm just sitting there staring at the wall and it's like a $500 swing and stuff? It happens all the time. So if you want to have a little bit of a cushion, do both. Take Webb Simpson top 10 to plus and you take him top 20. If you're only laying 45 cents, I think that's a great bet, Gabe. I expect him to be in contention. So top 20 I like a lot.
I got to go with my boy Harris English again, too.
Hello. Harris, yeah, he's playing better.
Harris English, top 20.
Oh, yeah. Good call by you and Pete, one of the listeners. Pete, good call. Harris English slipped in. He had a brilliant final round to slip into the top 20.
Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler. Good tournament. No, we all did. Thank God I gave the Morikawa. You guys hit those top 20s. It was
Harris
great week.
Harris English, four straight top 20s in his last four entries, including last week the PGA. Pretty good. Like he's been top 20 four straight tournaments. Not easy to do.
How do you not take?
Can he do it again?
Yes, he can. Gabe, this is Harris English at plus 160 top 20. Yes. Put him there. That's a good price for Harris English. I expect Harris English. He almost made my six pack. Like I rank guys and I can't bet everybody. He came in at like literally number seven after my guys. Like I think he will finish inside the top 10. So why don't you take him at top 20 at plus 160? Harris English, he's playing really well right now.
So as far as the outright winner is concerned, we talked about Webb Simpson at 10-1, Brooks Koepka's 12-1, Patrick Reed is 17-1, Casey is 20-1, Fleetwood is 20-1, Harris English 24, Justin Rose 24, Kisner 29, Billy Horschel 33-1, Moops Ryan Moore 33-1, Siwoo Kim is 33. Todd is 34-1. I'm 34. Yeah, what about Brendan Todd?
I love Todd.
Snedeker 45. I'm not really feeling these guys here. I tell you what, though, I think Corey Connors could be top 20, Cam.
No, Corey Connors could be top 20, but Gabe, there's also a guy that's playing really, really well, and I took him in the six pack. Chez Reavy can win this tournament. He made my six pack. He's 50-1. He's been playing great on the regular tour. I think he's I'm not going to say lock for the top 20, but I really, really love him for the top 20. So I'm going to take him at 50-1 to win and a top 20 bet. I like that one a lot. And there's another guy that I love this week, Joaquin Niemann. I was talking to our boy Feinberg about it. He, when he tweeted out, I go, I have three of your six guys, and we didn't even talk to each other. Neiman, we both agree on Gabe. Very, very solid young player. He'll do great at this type of course. I can't believe I would have made him about 35-1. He's 65-1 on FanDuel. It's an exceptional price. I like him for the win in the top 20 as well. Joaquin Neiman.
Joaquin Neiman. You haven't talked about him in a little while. What about player. My boy, Sepp Straka?
yeah, Sepp Straka. He's the Austrian. Hello, everybody. I'm Sepp Straka. It's like when I interviewed, who was that guy that I interviewed? Alex Cheka at the Canadian Open. I go, hey, Alex, I looked at his golf clubs game, and they literally looked like they were bought from like a secondhand store. He goes, I do not need forged clubs. These are fine. I'm like, you're a tour pro. Like the guy's like, the best equipment. He's hilarious. So Sepp Straka is actually not a bad golfer, but you know what he is, Gabe? He's a Thursday, Friday warrior. Like you'll see Sepp Straka up there, and then by the weekend, he'll disappear. That's his act. He plays well early and fades late.
Yeah. So looking at the, as I talked about, Webson, my picks are going to be, I'm going to play Webb Simpson. I like that. You know, top 10 is plus 110. Top 20 is minus 145. It's still pretty good value at minus 145 and a little bit more of a cushion. I can live with doing both. I'll play him at minus 145, top 20, and I'll play a little bit on Webb to win the tournament. Like, Cam, he'll probably win this thing, too. Like, would a shock if he won at 10-1? I know it's only 10-1, but.
Yeah. I'm not going to bet him at 10-1. Yeah, he will be there. That's why I'm going to take him in top 10 and top 20. Just don't like his odds at 10-1, but.
I like Spieth. I'm liking that Spieth top 20 at plus 200. Harris English top 20. Game time is in the continue.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Cam, so we got a couple of minutes left here before we transition in to in-game live. Still scoreless right now. Under 9 minutes remaining in the second period of play, the Arizona Coyotes and the Colorado Avalanche have failed to put a puck in the net. Raptors off to a bad start here. Our pick, Raptors are down 16-8, no panic. They're 16-8, they're 5 minutes in to that basketball game. So we played the Toronto Blue Jays team total. Not a great start for the Jays, but they haven't batted yet. But if you took the Jays, a little bit of a problem. Nate Pearson getting hit for the first time, Ken.
Yeah. Miami got to Pearson. The good news is the Jays haven't met Yamamoto yet. It's 3-0 for the Marlins. Maybe it'll be 3-1 or 3-2 at the end of the inning, Gabe. I still think we're going to get that over 4.5. I like it.
Yeah, I'm not in a panic as far as the run total is concerned. Early. Marlins are up 3-0. If you like the Blue Jays to come back, guys, it's minus 205 right now. The in-game total is 11. So what are you doing with these 7 o'clock Eastern games, 7:05 Eastern games? You got burnt yesterday trying to pick on the Yankees, Cam.
I'm not touching.
Pass on this one?
Yeah. I'm going to pass. Probably. I don't know. Tanaka's laying 70 cents. I want to go back
and rob the bank again with the Orioles, but I don't think it's plus 154 is not enough for me.
Wade LeBlanc versus Eflin, it's actually that line should be about $1.50, not 78. No one respects the Orioles, and they can beat Eflin. Here's what I'm going to do with baseball, and I'm going to play a dog tonight. It's probably going to be a very contrarian pick. I like the Boston Red Sox at plus 138 against Tampa. I'm going to pick on Snell tonight, and I'm going to go with Zach Godley in Boston. That's my dog tonight, Gabe. I also like the Mariners as a dog at plus 116 against the Texas Rangers. Looking at the Padres against the Dodgers, too. But that's when I'm playing in baseball. Philadelphia in hockey and Vancouver as a pooch tonight in game one versus St. Louis. Let's do it.
Yeah. I like the under in the Montreal Canadiens and the Philadelphia Flyers game. We're going to go under the 5.5 there. Said we'll have some more baseball picks in game live coming up next. Week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.